Today is Communion Sunday. We'll be taking communion in just a little while. And it's a sacrament, an ordinance of the church. What does that mean? That means that churches all over the world, Christian churches all over the world, remember what Christ did on the cross. They do it in various and sundry manners. If you're raised in the Catholic faith, you know that when you go to Mass, that there is a time in the Mass where the priest will bend over the altar and take a large host, what they call the host, the same bread that we get here, but it's a large host and a chalice full of wine. He'll speak words, "This is my body and this is my blood," and actually believe that at that moment in time, those elements become the body and blood of Jesus Christ. If you came out of one of the other persuasions or out of one of the other faiths, Luther didn't do away with everything that was Catholic. He believes that underneath the bread and underneath the wine is the real body and blood, the real presence of Christ. We believe that it's simply a celebration of memory. Memories are important. I did a funeral yesterday, or a memorial. I don't like calling them funerals anymore because it wasn't a funeral, it was a memorial for a young lady that I went to school with. Went to school with her family, the Struna family, and Tony Pasquale's wife that died here 3 or 4 weeks ago. In that congregation of people that gathered at the funeral home were probably 20, maybe 30 people that I went to school with that really knew me when I was in high school and after. And I will tell you that it gave a lot of people pause that I was doing that service because they knew me in high school and they knew me after high school. Many of them came from a long way away and didn't know that I was a pastor of a church now. And frankly, some of them looked at me like they didn't believe it. That what kind of scam are you running now? Kind of a look. Every time I shook one of their hands and looked in their faces, a memory came. None of them bad. I mean, they were all good memories. They were all in fun. You know, we had fun, but some things just, you know, weren't glorifying God at all. But it gave me the opportunity in that service to give part of my testimony. And it was those memories that I had back there were able to be interjected into what Jesus Christ has done in my life. And it gave me the opportunity to tell them that if you want religion, I try very hard in every remembrance ceremony or to present the gospel of Christ in some way. And I said, if all you care about is religion, you may as well join the Elks. Because I knew there were like a lot of Elks dudes in there. In fact, one of the Elks dudes had to come up and ask me, "What do you mean when you say, why don't you just join the Elks?" I said, but if you're willing to surrender who you are to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And I had to stop and say that because sometimes it gets to be really Christianese. I said, you just take your life and you let go of everything that you are and you just say, "Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life." If you're willing to do that, you get beyond religion into a relationship. And that's what this is all about. That is why I am what I am. I came out of a religion into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it was very positive because following the service, I went back in to pick up my stuff and there were 3 or 4 people that all stopped me and they said, "Tell us what you mean by this." And I was able to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ, to pray with them that they would see Jesus for who He was. That God is more than just Christmas cards and Easter cards, that God is very, very real, and He sent His Son to this earth to die for us, that we could have this relationship with Him. All starting from just the idea of memories. People who had specific places in our life. On the night before Jesus died, He gave to us the story of the event. He gave us the reality, the grace that He was about to give us at this, what we call the Last Supper. This that we call the Last Supper was for them, it was Pesach. It was the Passover meal. But in that Passover meal, which was the memory of what God had done for the Hebrew people in Egypt, when He used that celebration every year at Passover, every year Pesach, they have this dinner, and Jesus used that opportunity to show them a new covenant. There was an old covenant that God made with His people, made through Abraham, expanded through Moses. But now Jesus, on this Last Supper, only hours to die, He gives them a new covenant. A new agreement is not even a good word. Contract is not a good word. Because this covenant is so one-sided. It's like He's doing everything. When someone cut covenant, if you remember when Troy was here, he talked a lot about that. When you cut covenant, you made an agreement with somebody else, and they made an agreement with you. And there's nothing that could break that covenant except one person die or the other person die. That's the only thing that could break it. But God made this covenant with us through His Son, through the blood of very man, very God. A new covenant. So sometimes we forget about what the importance of this sacrament or this institution of the church is. Well, it's Communion Sunday. You know, we're going to have juice and bread. That's what it is. No, it's so much more than that. And I absolutely apologize and ask for your forgiveness if I've ever made it less than that. Because this is the act of obeying God. Whenever you do this in remembrance of Me. First Corinthians 11, verse 23. I have received of the Lord. Now I want to stop there and just explain this a little bit, because there's a whole lot that we sometimes gloss over as we read the New Testament. Paul is saying, I have received of the Lord. The Gospels tell us the story of Jesus Christ. Luke's Gospel tells us about the Last Supper. Matthew tells us about the Last Supper. Mark tells us about the Last Supper. John mentions the Last Supper. Paul, through the illumination of or the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, lays what we call doctrine down. The Gospels give us the story. The Holy Spirit, through Paul, gives us the doctrine. I don't want to hear about doctrine. Doctrine's no good. Your Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, that they continued daily in prayer and fasting and in the doctrine of the apostles. There is doctrine, and it's important that we understand these things as given to us by God. I have received of the Lord that which I delivered to you. This isn't just a story I made up. This comes from God, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which He was betrayed, took bread. You've heard me say this before, and it's very important to understand. When a man knows he only has maybe hours to live, chances are you're going to get the truth out of him. All the lies, all the stories, all the stuff that maybe he's been talking to you for 7 years, suddenly things need to become truthful. And we get the term a deathbed confession. Jesus is pouring into his disciples on this last night, only hours to live. And I've got so much to tell you, but I haven't got time. But the Holy Spirit, when He comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will expand and expose all the things that I have taught you. You're going to receive another teacher, the Holy Spirit. But right now, I need to tell you this. He took bread. He held up that bread. He gave thanks for that bread, and He broke it. Well, there's 12 of them sitting there, 11 of them sitting there. You've got to break it to get the bread out to everybody. But there's so much more than that. He breaks the bread. And I believe this with all of my heart. He breaks the bread, and He tells them, take and eat of this. For this is my body, your Bible may say, for you. Where it says for you, put a little caret in there and write clone. It should say broken for you. It's important. Because now we are remembering something. The Christ body was broken for us. There was not a bone in His body broken, because Psalm 22 said that. But His body was broken, laid open by the whip, laid open by the lance of a Roman soldier, laid open by the nails that pierced His hands and His feet. His body was broken, and it's done for you. That's why I said in my little corner this morning, I believe that when Christ died, when He gave His life on the cross, He bought us spiritually, He bought us physically, and He bought us mentally. The complete salvation of God was not just spiritual. It's important for us to understand that. And Lord, I'm getting clear off on this thing already. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can heal my broken body? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can give me a clear conscience to forget and to not hold myself guilty for my sin anymore? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. There's some things that happened here. One was submission. Jesus spoke the words. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Memories. Remembrance. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. I have got to submit to the words that Christ is saying here. This can become something that we do at the end of the service. It can become a little cup of grape juice or a little piece of bread, or it can be remembering, submitting myself to Christ because of what He did for me. Submission. I don't know about you, I have problems with that sometimes. Sometimes I get like big, the new dog in our house, Marley, is an English bulldog. Her legs are about this long. She's about this big around. Yesterday, she wanted to go out of the yard with me where I was going. And I said, no, you can't go, Marley. I closed the gate. She said, come on, let's go inside. She just laid down. No moving, the Marley, she ain't moving. Have I ever been like that? Mm-hmm. Have I ever done that? Mm-hmm. This fly's making me crazy. He is, he can't really get footing nowhere, but that's all right. Have you ever got to the place where you hear God saying something? Not only during communion, but in anything, you hear Him. You may hear a voice. You may, I have heard a voice that told me that the life I was living, I had enough of that. God said, this is enough. Yes, sir. Most of the time, I don't hear voices. They got me on new medication and it just works really, really good. But you can hear the voice of God in here. You can hear the voice of God in here. And God says, do this. And we can bow our necks. We can pull a Marley. We can flop on the floor and say, you ain't moving me. This is just too much. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Do it. Obedience is better than sacrifice. In this very act, when we take the cup, the bread, the little cup of grape juice, and some of you I've watched over the last little while, our grape juice was actually, it was actually pomegranate juice. And I drank it one time and I thought, my God, what are they putting in this? What have we done? You know? But I went and I looked at the bottle and it was cranberry juice. I mean, yeah, pomegranate juice. So it was a new experience. We got through it. It was kind of neat. But when we take this bread and when we take this cup and we hold it, we hold in our hands a memory. This is what this one did for me. This is what the grace of God did for me. While I was still a sinner, this is what He did for me.
Yes. Hallelujah.
So I make a determination in my heart, because you did this, what you tell me, that's what I'll do. God, because you've done this for me, you deserve my life. Now I want to do everything for you. I don't smoke, I don't chew, I don't go with girls that do. Why? Not because a preacher told me, but because, God, I want to do it. I want to give it up. I want to not do it for you, because this is what you did for me. We remember and we submit. God, help us to understand that little thing. We commemorate. We say, Lord, I believe that what you did is very much reality, because it's what changed my life. And this is commemoration. And this is an act of proclamation. He went on to say, in the same manner he took the cup after he had supped, saying, this is Elijah's cup. This is the last cup. This is the cup that comes, drinking this cup demonstrates a faith in Messiah coming. And Malachi said that Elijah must come first. So they called it Elijah's cup. This is the heralding of the Messiah. This is the cup he took. And there's a world of meaning in what he did there. He took that cup and gave it to him because I am the Messiah. He blessed it. Blessed are you, great God of the universe, who has given to us the fruit of the vine. And he gave it to his disciples and said, you drink. A better translation, even what we read in our Bible, in the Greek is you drink all of this. Each one of you drink all of this. Each one of you completely consume spiritually what the blood has bought for you. Jesus said, unless men eat my flesh and drink my blood, and it blew people's minds. Good Jewish people do not eat the flesh of human beings. And they got up and they walked off. He had finally crossed the line. And when he had crossed this line, he had to ask his disciples, are you going too? Because what I just told you is really important. And Peter, bless his heart, he once again came up with something out of his heart and said, where shall we go, Lord? Only you have the words of eternal life.
That's right.
Unless the reality of the blood of Christ gets from out there to in here, it's going to do us no good. You know, I can believe that Christ lived all my life. It does me no good. Why? The devils believe, they believe, and buzzes, they tremble. I can believe that. I can even believe that Christ walked on this earth and they crucified him. Means nothing. I can believe in my brain that Christ walked on this earth, they crucified him, and they say he rose again from the dead. I can believe that, but it does me no good until I take those very ideas and concepts and realities, and I say, he walked on this earth because I walk on this earth. He showed me how I should walk. He died for me, and they put him in a grave, and he rose again from the dead for me. This is for me. Until it gets like that, until the blood gets from out there into here, the body gets from out there into here, it's doing us no good. And Jesus took that cup and he told him, you drink all of this. And as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. For as often as you do this, you do show forth or you do commemorate my death, even until I come. So there's a commemoration. There's a submission, a commemoration, an anticipation. We do this now to remember what he did. But one day, what he did will take us from this earth to a home beyond anything imaginable in our minds. The knowledge of he did it for me. We were having a really interesting discussion in Sunday school this morning. If you don't make it to, I keep calling it Sunday school, just force the habit. If you don't make it, you're missing something. You really, truly are. There are some really deep, important discussions that go on in there. But we were talking about who am I in Christ Jesus? Wayne has been expanding on this. Who am I? A lot of people fall by the wayside because they've never been apprised of this is who you are in Christ Jesus. Because of him, you have been made to be a new creation. Paul went on to write in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he talked about terrestrial bodies and celestial bodies. There's a body here on earth, but there's also a body that we have in heaven, that we will have in heaven. We do this, what we do today, in anticipation of that time when the Lord will descend from a shout with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be changed, will be changed in a moment, and will be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we always be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. There's coming a time that's going to happen, and if you are there, it's because over here, you realize what Jesus Christ had done for you. So we do this in submission. We do this in remembrance, commemoration, and we do it in anticipation. As often as you do it, you show forth my death until I come. Jesus, you're coming. This is not just very expensive bread. Little tortilla-looking outfits that cost a mint and a glass of juice. It's not it. It's not it. I read stories of men who were held in the Hanoi Hilton during Vietnam, and they were given crusty, moldy bread to eat, or just gruel sometimes. And they would take that, and they would take that old bread and just the juice from off of the soup that they were given. And they would take time to remember what Jesus did. And they'd receive communion from these things. And it kept them, healed them, blessed them. We do this to proclaim He's our Lord. When I take this, these two elements, I'm telling Suzanne, and I'm telling Sue, and I'm telling other Sue, and I'm telling other Sue. Sue, I'm telling them all. I'm showing them that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. Jesus said, if you don't confess me before men, I'll not confess you before my Father who is in heaven, or the angels standing with my Father in heaven. This meal says that I'm a born-again, blood-washed child of the King. Now that's good Pentecostal talk. What it means is I was once a sinner, but Christ has done something for me and made me a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. So Paul says a little later on that we are to examine ourselves. In what manner? Now let me tell you, if you do context, like I like to do context, what Paul is talking about here, if you read the verses before, you're talking about a party that was going on, calling it the Lord's Supper. In fact, Paul said in one time, he says, you're coming and you're plowing, you're the first in line to get the food. When people walk in, you're the first one sitting there. You don't let anybody go before you. You're drinking the wine, you're getting drunk. He tells them, I got nothing good to say about that. He says, haven't you got homes to eat in? And one version says, get drunk in? He says, you need to examine yourself to see in what manner you are taking this meal. When you take this, are you acknowledging Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? He said, if not, then don't take it. If you hold that and you examine yourself and you find out, I have aught against my brother, don't take it. He's saying, if you hold that in your hands and you realize there's unconfessed sin in your life, don't take it. He says, because of that, many of you are sick. Some of you have even fallen asleep. You're dead. They've died. But if you're willing to take that cup and you're willing to take that piece of bread and you're willing to say, Jesus, you know my life. You know what I've done in this last week or today or in the last hour or whatever. You know. So I confess that to you as what it is. Your body and your blood purchased my salvation. And so I take this in the realization and confessing to everybody that my sin is done away with the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Then we receive the meal that truly heals. So I would tell you this morning, if there are unconfessed things in your life, as you hold it, get them confessed. And then you can take this in celebration. Amen. I'm going to ask the ushers if they'll come. Gwen, if she'll come. I'm going to ask the ushers to come and pass out the elements. Please hold on to it until everybody gets served. Take these moments to let the Holy Spirit sift your heart.